Coming up tomorrow at 7 a.m., hear the KBOO Morning News. At 7:30 on Locus Focus Talk Radio, the whole community's radio project looks at ways to reconnect Portland residents to the rivers and streams around them. At 9, it's Movie Talk with Ed, Don, and DK, reviewing the latest movies. At 9:30, Lauren Sorenfield hosts Speaking of Animals. At 10 on People Rise Up, Andrew Geller speaks with Robert Schul, Director of Regulatory Policy for OMB Watch, about efforts to create an appointed federal sunset commission that would eliminate literally any federal program. At 10:30, hear part one of a lecture by journalist Amira Haas, the first Israeli reporter to live in Gaza, on From Occupation to Enclosure, Fragmenting the Palestinian State. And at 11, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. That's all right here on KBOO, your community nonprofit, volunteer-powered, and listener-sponsored radio station. Thanks for joining us, and remember to keep that sunscreen on when you head to the Salmon Street Springs. Good night, everyone.
This is Independent Native News for Tuesday, the 27th of June. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock. The Canadian government has frozen funding for a national Aboriginal organization. As Craig McCulloch reports, it is over allegations of unexplained financial dealings.
The organization, known as CAP for short, represents off-reserve First Nations and Métis, offspring of mixed European Aboriginal unions. Besides the Indian Affairs Department, it also receives money from several other departments of the Canadian government, totaling about $5 million in Canadian dollars a year. The freeze only pertains to money from the Department of Indian Affairs, which is the largest federal contributor. According to the Congress, which was the only Aboriginal organization to support current Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper's Conservative government in the last election, the department has temporarily cut off financial support during an audit. The financial review apparently started back in February, but was expanded when further concerns were raised. The group's leader calls the monetary freeze an attempt by federal bureaucrats to destroy the organization. A spokesperson for the department says there is confidence in both the bureaucrats and the organization. The audit did uncover that over $120,000 Canadian does have to be repaid because the costs were booked in the previous fiscal year. The Congress says this amount is minor when considering the allegations of misspending. For Independent Native News, I'm Craig McCulloch.
Native American smoke shop owners on Long Island have formed an organization to defend their businesses against attacks from New York State lawmakers and a large supermarket chain. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
The Long Island Native Business Association is made up of members of the Shinnecock and Unkachuk tribes who are being sued by the Gristatus Corporation, owners of a supermarket and convenience store chain. The suit charges that tobacco sales by the businesses on the Shinnecock Reservation are a black market operation that supports the Hezbollah in Lebanon. An association of convenience store owners has also successfully lobbied the state legislature to impose a tax on tobacco and gasoline sold to non-Indians on the reservations. The tax has yet to be enforced. Lance Gums, chairman of the trustees of the Shinnecock Nation and himself a smoke shop owner, says it's an uphill task fighting a billion-dollar corporation like Gristatus.
What's ironic about it is the principal of Gristatus goes to church right across the street here from the reservation at the Greek church. And he has to go down this road here, and he sees us, and he knows our living conditions. He knows what this is about, and yet he would turn around and do something like this.
Unemployment is high on the reservation, and Native businesses employ 75 people from Shinnecock. That's about 15% of the adults who live on the reservation. In Fairfield, Connecticut, I'm Ebong Udama.
A bill to renew the Indian Health Care Improvement Act moved out of the House Resources Committee last week after a compromise was struck on the Alaska Dental Health Therapist Program. The Alaska Public Radio Network's Annie Feit reports.
The bill would restrict but wouldn't completely bar dental health therapists from performing certain procedures. They couldn't perform adult root canals or tooth extractions except for medical emergencies. A licensed dentist would make that determination. Alaska dentist Robert Robertson, who helped work on the compromise for the American Dental Association, says the therapists need to be able to treat certain emergency cases.
We're not saying if you have a medical emergency, you shouldn't treat them. We're not saying that at all, but if it is a medical emergency, at least have a consultation and make sure there isn't complications that would be from a pre-existing medical condition or a situation that would cause further damage.
The Indian Health Bill originally had tougher restrictions on Alaska dental therapists, barring them from filling or pulling teeth. Ron Nagel has helped oversee the dental therapist program for the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. He says the compromise is fair.
The language does allow us to continue with developing the dental therapy program, and it allows them to practice and provide the badly needed services that they have been providing.
There are currently 8 dental therapists practicing in rural Alaska. With help from Joel Southern, I'm Annie Feit.
This is Independent Native News. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock.
Supported by Amerind Risk Management Corporation, a Native venture protecting Indian Country's assets. www.amerind-corp.org. Independent Native News is a production of KUAC.